What a game. What a week in rivalry week here in college football. This is just insane. Absolutely insane. For those of you on YouTube, welcome back. I am back on YouTube here. It's been a little while since I have done a video, gone live, and we'll be doing segmented clips here and posting it, reposting it later throughout the next couple of days. And I'm also going to be on the podcast formats, so make sure you guys look out for me there. I'll have more links in the description as that develops here in the short time. And my plan is to be a lot more consistent with this stuff. Just rely on it, because I think this is something that could actually work out. Let's build a community here, because we like to discuss things. And if you want to discuss things, go into my TikTok. It's popping off there the last couple of days, and I want to pop off just a little bit more. All right, the Michigan Wolverines, they stun Ohio State, wins four straight in the series. This game different than all the rest. Michigan had to take an approach that was a little bit different than the rest of the approaches that they have made, because they knew they couldn't just line up against this defense and just pound the ball down their throat. They didn't have a dynamic enough run game to be able to do that. They would have to be slow and methodical and go through stretches in the middle of this game where they would go three and out very often, not maybe get a first down here and there. But like, they played most of this game without being able to sustain possessions. Then they sustained one possession in the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, early second, where they get Alex Orji taken off on a zone read. Sonny Styles doesn't set the edge, and they flip the field. Davis Warren in that offense ends up getting stopped at the goal line, but it was fine because Will Howard threw it right to Amir Hall, who was just lurking there, learned it from his buddy Will Johnson, I guarantee you, lurking there on a little bit of his speed out, it looked like, to Carnell Tate. And that's where Michigan was winning this game, is the field positioning battle. When you talk about the punting game, there was a lot mentioned about the wind being at the face of Michigan and the wind being at the back of Michigan. To me, in the second and fourth quarter, that's when Michigan really took over this game with their special teams. They strategically did it. They did it in a fashion in which they would be winning the field positioning battle because they can punt and Ohio State cannot. When you're talking about Joe McGuire booting a 38-yard punt or something like that in response to like a 62-yard punt, I mean, it's not good enough for Ohio State. They definitely need better special teams, better kickers, better punters. And, you know, I've heard all this stuff about Nick McLaurdy, and he was supposed to start at the beginning of the year. Where is that kid? Because I guarantee you McLaurdy would have at least been able to punt at 50 yards. Just saying. But when it comes to the grand scheme of things, it's not like Michigan dominated this game. Like, Ohio State had more yards in total offense. They moved the ball slightly better than Michigan, but they also made a lot of mistakes. And they didn't take advantage of the matchups that they were winning on the outside on a consistent basis until Michigan knew that they had to throw the ball. Ryan Day talked about, like, how, oh, yeah, we still threw the ball 33 times, ran it about 26. Yeah. You made up for it in times when you had to throw the ball. The two-minute drill, where you scored, by the way, you had to throw the ball eight or nine times on that drive. At the end of the game, you had to throw the ball all four of those plays right there. So it's like pretty much you saw the run game wasn't working. And my problem with it, too, is like it's not just the run game. It's a lack of multiplicity, creativity, and the use of perimeter runs. I've been saying it jokingly all week, thinking that, well, of course Chip Kelly's going to do this because I know this. Everybody knows this. How you run the ball on Michigan is not going right through the middle. You tire their defensive tackles out. Tire the fat boys out is what I've been saying all week. Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham, tire them out by going with perimeter run, being able to create matchups on the perimeter. That's what Texas did. That's what Washington did. That's what Indiana did in the first half. That's how these teams have had success. And then the second thing is they've all been able to throw the ball to open up the run game. And Ohio State didn't want to do that. If you wanted to run the ball in this game, you had to come out firing first. You had to come out saying, Jeremiah Smith's better than what you got. Emeka Egbuka is better than what you got. Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, G. Scott, Jelani Thurman, doesn't matter. Travion Anderson in the throw game, Quinshon Judkins in the throw game, doesn't matter. They're all better than what you had. Horrible, absolute worst game plan as a Buckeye fan that I have ever seen from an offensive staff. 2015 Michigan State might have been worse, but that was so long ago, and I was so young at that point that it's just kind of like, well, is that what happened? But, I mean, I know Ohio State history pretty well. That was one of the worst game plan. That was certainly the worst game plan we've ever had. We looked more competent against Missouri on offense than Ohio State did yesterday. It was absolutely ridiculous. And now you talk about, where does Ohio State go from here? A lot of fans, including myself, are really in the camp of Ryan Day should be fired or should just leave. Should leave. And Ryan Day still might leave, but I can promise you one thing. They are not firing Ryan Day. 100% not going to fire Ryan Day. And you got to be okay with the idea that they're not going to fire Ryan Day, Buckeye fans. You got to deal with it. And the only thing you can do is just be like, look, he has still been a successful coach. This is the first time he's lost to an unranked team. He has only lost one game in the Big Ten outside of Michigan. He's got a Michigan problem, and we got to keep on pressuring him to figure it out. But if he's going to be the coach, if he is going to be the coach, we got to get behind him. We cannot be against him. The thing about this game is the added pressure is because of the fact, and the reason, in my opinion, the game plan was so bad was because there was added pressure from the fan base that, quite frankly, Ryan Day needs to be tougher and ignore. But the pressure from the fan base, all of the threats, and police having to be outside the house of Ryan Day last year with his kids and family, that crap's got to stop. Because we're never going to be able to win this game if we treat our head coaches like that. Because our head coaches are going to get tight and pucker up and be scared to lose the game more than motivated to win the game. That was a man yesterday in Ryan Day who was more scared to lose the game than more motivated to win. If he was motivated to win instead of scared to lose, Ohio State beats that team by 30 points. I promise you that. And I guarantee you, going forward too, when we see this Ohio State team in the playoff, likely hosting a playoff game on December 21st or December 20th, that Friday night, maybe Ohio State gets the night game they've been clamoring for. I don't know. Like, there are some, like, kind of blessings in disguises here. And the biggest blessing in disguise that you have from this Ohio State team is that this is the floor for this team. They could not possibly, on the offensive side of the ball, perform worse than they did yesterday. And now Michigan is not a very good team. They're going to have to play a lot better on the offensive side to be able to win a playoff game. But they've shown times this year that they are capable of it. They showed it against Indiana. They showed it against Oregon. At times, they showed it against Penn State, even if that was a low-scoring game. At the end of the day, whether you are a Ryan Day guy or not, and now I'm not a Ryan Day guy, and I was up until yesterday. I had faith that he would get it figured out. And as long as he's the coach, I'm going to hope he gets it figured out. But you got to just get behind him, because the school's going to get behind him. And we cannot have this, you know, us against our coach mentality anymore. And I don't have a big enough platform to be able to change that. So if you can get this out to somebody with a bigger platform, that's the encouragement I could have. Make Ryan Day and this team and this staff not scared to lose the game. Make them motivated to win the game, because there's a difference between wanting to win and trying to avoid a loss from a mentality standpoint. Michigan just wanted to win that game, and all Ohio State wanted to do is not lose. And they lost because they played scared. And then after the game, what happened there is when the pressure is not on and all this stuff. You saw the dog mentality that that team had. Not on our turf. That didn't happen 2 years ago, mind you. That did not happen 2 years ago. There's a reason why I believe that there is more of a national championship mindset in that locker room now than there was 2 years ago or even 5 years ago with that 2019 team, though I think that they really did have that mindset too. Because regardless of what happened on the field, they ain't taking any disrespect from anybody. Especially when I see Jack Sawyer doing that, usually a cool, calm, collected kid who has that switch to turn on his anger, who I thought played incredible yesterday. When you get him all riled up and all this stuff, when you see Mitchell Melton getting out there fired up and all this stuff, not doing anything wrong, by the way. I was looking for Ohio State players that threw punches. I'm sure some of them did. I saw Latham Ransom kind of go a little crazy, though I didn't see him throw a punch. I don't know if any of the significant players did throw a punch and if Ohio State has to worry about that for the playoff game. But one thing I do know here is they were not going to be taking that crap from that team up north who really only benefited off of Ohio State being you know, afraid of the pressure of the game. That was not a better football team, and Michigan's going out there and acting like it is. You won. Go to your locker room. And then what Fred Moore was trying to do was completely Bush League. When it was all separated, the midfield stuff stopped. Fred Moore goes into the middle of a bunch of Buckeye players and is trying to antagonize them with the flag, wave it in their face, try to plant it right in the middle. And Jack Sawyer had none of it. Fred Moore is a little sissy. He's a fraud. And same with Samaj Morgan, by the way. Shout out to him. This game was really summed up right there in that fight because you knew that the players had the passion and all that stuff. And when you just let them loose, then they're going to go crazy. But I'm afraid that the Ohio State coaching staff, in particular on the offensive side of the ball, just did not let that Buckeye team loose. And that's why they lost the game. And Michigan, especially on defense, played very, very loose, very, very excited, and just went at the Buckeyes all day long. It was war. It was war. But you kind of tucked your tails in the face of war right there, Buckeyes. But is this flag planting thing going to get banned here? Because you saw it happen with the little spear or whatever you want to call it for Arizona State doing it in the middle of the Arizona field, starting a little altercation there. We had an altercation in NC State and North Carolina. Altercations everywhere yesterday. Virginia Tech got a little bit crazy. That's going to be the response by the NCAA, whether you like it or not. They're going to tell you that there's going to be a straight-up fine. If not at the conference level, they're going to start doing this. There's going to be a straight-up fine for planting flags. I think it will probably, honestly, be at the conference level, but it will probably go across the conferences, but especially in the Big Ten after this. They're going to apply fines. And I feel like it is kind of dumb to plant your flag. Like, I always thought it was kind of dumb. I always thought it was kind of cheesy and corny and Bush League as well. It's like you whoop their ass on the field. Pardon my French there, by the way. But you whoop them on the field. Why is that not enough for you? You know what I mean? That's just my mindset there. But on the other side of things too, if you don't want them to plant the flag, win the dang game. You're at home. Win the game. Like, there are two sides to this that I completely understand, and ultimately what's going to end up happening is these conferences, probably the Big Ten and ACC first, just based on yesterday, they're going to immediately ban that. And speaking of that, I just want to skip ahead for a second because we just talked about it. Arizona State stomping out their rival, Arizona, was just a masterclass by Kenny Dillingham, and Cam Scadabo is just an incredible player. Snubbed off of the Doak Walker Award finalists. I think he should have been one of the three finalists. I honestly think it probably should have been GT and then him and probably Caleb Johnson, but I don't want to take any. We got a lot of really good running backs across America this year. And, yeah, this is the hottest team in the Big 12 right now. They're really, really good. I still think this was a conference that like slipped away from Colorado. This was a chance for Deion in Colorado, and Deion said it best to his team. You had a chance, you controlled your destiny, and you failed. You didn't go out there and you didn't do it. Ohio State's in the same boat. Trust me, brother. No more about Ohio State there. But Arizona State, you know, they just look so good. And I had said in my TikTok that I made before the game is Arizona has the talent to be able to pull off this upset. Didn't look like it. Did not look like it. Arizona State's very impressive, and we'll see how they do against Iowa State, but I very much like their chances right now. Back to the noon slate. Miami stunned on the road at Syracuse. First off, taking the ball out of the hands of Cameron Ward at the end of the game, when you're down by seven, taking the field goal, having to rely on a defense that has not gotten a stop the whole second half, LaQuan Allen goes crazy, and then ending the game with an offsides. Just another Mario Cristobal special. We've seen it for years. Going back to Oregon, we saw it. This is what Mario Cristobal does at the end of games. Fantastic recruiter, great offensive line developer, and great developer of talent, a finder of talent. He can do all that, but he cannot figure out these games. They've had the ACC officials bail them out in a couple of close games, and it's still not enough. And now you're going to get an argument that you're probably going to lose to the SEC about whether or not they deserve to be in the playoff. We'll see what Mario has to say about it. But at the end of the day, you don't have a ranked win right now other than, unless Duke is ranked. Duke would be your only ranked win if Duke is ranked. Now, albeit, like, the Florida win looks a little bit better, but, like, that was not the same Florida team back then. And this Miami team is just struggling over there. I want to give a shout-out to Kyle McCord and the Syracuse offense for just going off, going at him. I knew this would be a bad matchup if Syracuse was ready. I put this on upset watch, and I initially picked Syracuse at the beginning of the week and kind of faded away from it. I said Miami is going to find a way to win this game late close, and they did not. They did not. And also at the 3:30 slate, Notre Dame punched their ticket into the college football playoff with a very impressive performance by Jaden Mayava despite the two late pick sixes. I thought Jaden Mayava played great. And from a USC perspective, being 6-6, we're going to see him in a bowl game. I'm definitely going to just predict them to win whatever bowl game because, again, they do remind me a lot of that 2022 Texas team right before they broke out with Steve Sarkisian. I think the difference, though, is I think Sark is just straight up a way better head coach than Lincoln Riley. But this team, they're going to have to patch up some things within the trenches, in the front seven on defense. Definitely use the transfer portal to your advantage here and use NIL to your advantage. I know USC is not shy of money. I get they can't get people to show up to their games, but even still, when you see USC's offense be able to have the success that they had against the Notre Dame defense all day, even with the two pick sixes that iced the game away, you still had the ball under 4 minutes driving with a chance to tie the game. This USC team, the only games they've lost were close games. As far as Notre Dame goes, look, I think it was a little bit of a bad matchup when you look at USC's defensive structure versus the Notre Dame offensive structure. I still question if Riley Leonard is put in a position to go and make plays against elite teams, if he will be able to do it. But my gosh, the turnaround that Marcus Freeman and this team has had since that Northern Illinois loss, the way that they just look better and they've improved every single week. This run game is very dynamic. Jeremiah Love's hurdle was just absolutely insane. And Riley Leonard is dynamic as an athlete as well. I think they're going to run into some problems. I could see people like making them a trendy pick, I guess, to maybe make a run. And I think they're going to have problems matchup-wise in the playoffs, especially with Benjamin Morrison, their top corner, being out and that secondary looking a little bit vulnerable yesterday. I don't think if Notre Dame gets in another shootout with a better defense and a better overall team, they're going to be able to win. But they punched their ticket after losing to Northern Illinois, one of the most unbelievable losses of a regular season that I could remember. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish have rallied off 10 straight wins against mostly Power 4 competition. And Now they're in the playoff, hosting a playoff game. I'll be up in that area, by the way, that weekend. So I'm not going to a game, but that would be tempting for sure to try to go to a playoff game in South Bend, Indiana. That'd be pretty interesting right there. All right, Oregon. What a big statement by the Oregon Ducks yesterday. This is the statement that Ohio State needed to make over Washington, right? Or over Michigan. Because Oregon and Dan Lanning has yet to beat Washington in multiple tries there. Three tries in the last 2 years have yet to beat Washington. Washington is a singular team that kept the Oregon Ducks out of the college football playoff the last 2 years. And they just put it to them. Great game plan by Will Stein. That bye week gave them the recovery that they needed, and they looked more like the team. And I knew that Wisconsin game would be a tough spot for Oregon in the preseason just based on the alignment of their schedule. But once they got to the bye week and well-rested, boom, did they exploit that Washington defense all day long. I'm curious to see how Damon Williams will look next year. I'm excited about the development of that player, and I still think Jed Fish, as strange of a guy as he is a pretty good coach. And 6-6 ain't that bad for Washington, and it's crazy. The two teams that went to the national championship, 7-5 and 6-6, and not in the college football playoff this year in an expanded format, but what can you say? What can you say? Shout out to Oregon, though. Like, that game really put things to rest about, like, you know, whether or not this Oregon team is going to be able to be consistent enough or whatever. Nah, they just needed a bye week to recover from a long stretch of games. Like, that's all it really was. Texas wins a wild game in the reunited rivalry between Texas and Texas A&M. A weird game because the turnover luck and the field positioning luck was going to Texas A&M. They had a pick six. They had a forced fumble in the red zone. They had multiple red zone turnovers, Texas did. Texas dominated Texas A&M throughout this game, but kept Texas A&M in based on offensive mistakes, turnovers, and a blocked punt later in that game that set up A&M nicely, and they just couldn't capitalize. They went for it on fourth and short, didn't get it, and that was the ball game right there. This Texas team is really good, but they got to learn how to take care of the ball a little bit better. I like the Arch Manning in the game in these, like, red zone situations, but I don't love a two-quarterback system. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not think I'd ever be saying this year. I would almost rather start to work towards Arch Manning being the starting quarterback, but I guess it's a little bit too late. Like, you could have been doing that against Arkansas and Kentucky, but you didn't. And now you're stuck with Quinn Ewers, and he's got the capability to win you a game. He's also got the capability to lose you a game. And that is rolling the dice with something that I don't want to have as a fan. Like, if you go up against a team like Ohio State, Georgia, again, which you're going to have to in the SEC championship, Tennessee, even Penn State or Oregon for sure, I would worry about that game if I'm a Texas fan about how Quinn Ewers is going to be able to protect the football. Because that Texas A&M defense, they're very disruptive. That defensive line is very disruptive. The tip pass on the pick six was a spectacular play by the defensive line. But something always kind of seems to go a little bit wrong when Quinn Ewers drops back to pass in some of these bigger games. And they're able to pull out a lot of these games, by the way, where he's turning the ball over. But again, like I said, I think he single-handedly lost Texas the Georgia game, and I think he could single-handedly lose Texas a game in the college football playoff. So as we take a look at the bubble, here's how I'm looking at it. Safe in the college football playoff. I think Oregon and Penn State in the Big Ten are both safe. I think Georgia and Texas in the SEC are both safe. That's four teams right there. Ohio State and Indiana are in. Tennessee is in. Seven teams right there. Notre Dame, eight teams. I think that SMU should be safe, should be 100% in, and that's my nine right there. That is my nine right there. I'll check these comments here in a second before I reveal the top 25 and respond to them. I think those are the nine teams in, and there are three spots to fill. One of them is going to be filled by the Big 12 champion. One of them is going to be filled by the Mountain West champion. Now, that's going to leave one spot. Clemson could kill all the dreams of that next team out. In my opinion, I think that next team out should either be Miami or South Carolina or Ole Miss. I would understand if Ole Miss was given the reward because of the dominance that they showed against South Carolina. But there is not many more hotter teams in America than South Carolina. And Miami, for what it's worth, has lost less games than all of those teams. Alabama, to me, and Ole Miss, to me, those losses are unforgivable. Having two really bad losses, especially Alabama getting blown out in their most recent loss against a 500 football team, a 6-6 ball club they got blown out against just a week ago. I'm sorry, but I watched South Carolina, Alabama. I came away thinking that South Carolina was a better team than Alabama back then, who let one get away. And now you have a situation where South Carolina's even better than they were back on October 12th when they played the Alabama Crimson Tide, and certainly better than when they played Ole Miss. So in my opinion, out of those four teams that would be taking that one spot if SMU does beat Clemson, I think that South Carolina is probably the best team right now out of those four. I would take them on a neutral field against any of those four teams. Now, with that being said, if Clemson beats SMU, I think this is neat. I think this is nice and neat. Path of least resistance, keep SMU in the field of 12, put Clemson in as the 12 seed. Bada bing. Actually, wait. Yeah, they'd be the 12 seed. I'm sorry, but that would be a 12 seed that you just wouldn't really want to face, would you? Like, I know Clemson's not that good, and they're certainly beatable, but like, when you talk about blue chip ratio, you're not expecting for that 12 seed to be a Clemson. You're expecting it to be like a UNLV. Now, if UNLV beats Boise State, then Clemson could potentially get a bye here. That's not that far-fetched. If UNLV beats Boise State and Clemson beats SMU, Clemson's going to get that 4 seed. That's how broken our system is. All right, before we get to the rankings, Ohio State is going to end up playing Tennessee in Tennessee. Ryan Day will lose that game and then be fired. He has proven time and time again that he can't beat Michigan and he can't win a natty. Here's the thing about that. I don't want to speak in absolutes about can't win a natty. He was a bad call away in 2019 from going to the natty, and he would have won the natty if they were able to make a field goal or Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't get knocked out of that game. Those aren't excuses. It happened, but when you're talking about being one snap away from playing in the national championship, even last year, they were one snap away from going to the college football playoff. You know, like, I still think Ryan Day is a really good coach. I just think he's, like, scared in the rivalry game, and I made that point earlier in the live stream. The other thing I'm going to say, too, when you bring up the playoff seeding and where Ohio State's going to be, I have a hard time seeing Ohio State not play a home game here. I think the committee will rank Ohio State below Tennessee, but I think it's going to be one and two is going to be the Big Ten and SEC champ in whatever order. So if Penn State beats Oregon and Texas beats Georgia, I think it'll be Texas number one and Penn State number two. If Oregon wins, they're the number one seed. SEC champ will be number two seed. It's pretty much that simple. And then you got the 3 and 4 there from the outside looking in. But here's what I think is going to happen. If Texas beats Georgia and avenges that loss, I could see the committee dropping Georgia just one spot below Ohio State. So I think what they're going to do, and this is not what I'll do. I'll give you my top 25 here. I'll do that right now because this is a good transition point. So here's my top 25 for the week. Let me see if I got it better here. I got Oregon number one, Texas number two. In this situation here, the home games would go to Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Tennessee at the moment. And at the moment, I believe you should be right that Tennessee, though, here's the thing, too. This won't matter, by the way, because SMU would be one of the buys right now at the moment. But I do think the committee is going to rank SMU down at 8, and Ohio State's going to be 7, Tennessee is going to be 6. I think that's the order they're going to go with, and then they're going to flip-flop Notre Dame and Georgia, though I think Georgia's a better football team than Notre Dame. That's why I ranked them above, and they played a way more difficult schedule than the Georgia Bulldogs. And I didn't check that other comment, by the way. Ryan Day's dead. Dude. Bro. Nah. Nah. I read that comment initially, started laughing because I misinterpreted it. I don't like that comment, bro. Come on, man. Come on, man. It's a little bit too dark of humor for me when you're talking about real stuff that has happened there. For those of you in the audio, it's a joke about Ryan Day losing his father. I'm not going to encourage it. Anyway, so I really wish I could cut that out, but I'm not going to, especially in a live stream format. It is what it is. So what I think is going to happen, though, is if Georgia ends up losing to Texas, I think Georgia's going to drop below Ohio State, and I think Ohio State will be above SMU. I could easily see Ohio State playing a home game here. I think they're probably going to get a home game here. Now, with that being said, I know the committee is going to rank things a little bit differently than I do. I have Alabama way down at 16. I'm just not inspired by Alabama. A lot of people talked about how they're so Jekyll and Hyde and they were impressive yesterday. To me, they weren't even impressive yesterday. Like, Auburn went back to the old Auburn that we know, especially on the offensive side of the football, and that was the story of that game. Like, I'm not surprised. Then you also, guys, I put UNLV at 18 here, BYU at 17. So for your audio listeners, it's 1 Oregon, 2 Texas, 3 Penn State, 4 Georgia, 5 Notre Dame. That's the top 5 right there. 6 SMU, 7 Tennessee, 8 Ohio State, 9 Indiana, 10 Arizona State playing red hot football right now. 11 Boise State, 12 Miami, 13 Iowa State, 14 Ole Miss, and 15 South Carolina. I can ignore with 15 South Carolina and now 16 Alabama, I can ignore that head-to-head with how close that game was with South Carolina on the road. What I cannot ignore is Ole Miss blowing out South Carolina. I think that's going to box South Carolina out of the CFP. I think if Iowa State loses, they'll drop below those three-loss SEC teams. And then there can be a debate if SMU beats Clemson. There can be a debate about whether or not Miami or one of the SEC schools deserve to get in. I would pick Ole Miss over all three of them, but it's not easy because Ole Miss has two really, really bad losses too. But I'm also considering the fact that Florida at the end of the year was playing at a top 25 level. And I'm not punishing Ole Miss in my mind as much for that loss. And it was much closer than that Alabama game. They beat Georgia also, a common opponent between the two, way more emphatically than Alabama did. I still think South Carolina, though, right now is playing the best football out of all of those teams. Still think that. Number 17, BYU. Number 18, UNLV. Number 19, I slotted in Clemson there because they are playing for the ACC championship. You've had to have a pretty good season. And then number 20, I got Colorado. They let one really get away against Kansas, who, just like Florida, was playing at a top 25 level and then just got embarrassed against Baylor. Number 21, I slotted in Illinois with a quiet and solid 9-3 season. Number 22, I got Duke there, who really was close to being able to knock off Miami and SMU, the two highest-ranked teams in the ACC. Number 23, I got the Syracuse Orange, who have had their ups and downs this year, but their ups have been really up. I know their lows of that Stanford and Pitt game are definitely out there, but those highs are really high, and it gets capped off with that win against Miami just yesterday. Number 24, a tough, gritty win against Arkansas for Missouri. to finish off their season at 9-3. Number 25, sitting at 10-1. I got the Army Black Knights, who are going to be playing Tulane in the conference championship. Shout out, by the way, to the Memphis Tigers for giving UNLV a basically like straight path into the college football playoff now. It's win and get in for the Rebels now because Memphis knocked off Tulane on Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night. Last thing I got to say here, guys, is this 12-team race, it's going to be incredible to see play out. We only have to take really a week off of major college football, and we're going to get more college football. I was, you know, a little bit upset when I heard that, you know, saw that there were going to be bowl games on the same day as Army-Navy, but then I'm like, well, no, Army-Navy is still going to be the focus of that day. But we get to watch all that football and a Heisman ceremony in one day. It's going to be beautiful. Like, football is still so far from over, and it makes me happy that college football is here. And I know I'm an Ohio State fan for everybody out there, but that being said, I love college football way more than I love Ohio State, and I am here for all of that. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys like this video, and make sure you guys follow on the podcast. I'll see you guys in the next one.